Take your Bibles tonight, Genesis chapter 1, grace greater than all our sins. There's one thing that all of us have in common tonight, and it is the fact that every single one of us was a sinner in need of a Savior. And where would we be without the Lord Jesus and the grace that has been extended to us? I love that song. Love that thought. All right, Genesis chapter 1. And if you were here last week, you are familiar with what we began and the study that we started looking at. I informed you that I'm reading the Bible a little differently this year. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll take a smaller amount of scripture and I'll really turn it over and study it to really dig into it and look up words, do word studies and that sort of thing. That's what I typically do for my Bible reading. But this year I'm changing it up and I'm reading large portions of scripture in one setting. And the idea is not to sit down and pick apart every word, but the idea is to get an overview of a large amount of scripture at one time. And there are some things that the Lord is already teaching me through this. One of the things that the Lord is really hammering home are the things that we're going to look at and have begun to look at last week. These are some themes that rise to the surface as you get really into the book of Genesis and as you get into some of the other books. And as we read God's word and we sort of take a bird's eye approach to it and say, okay, what's happening here? God created man. He's revealing himself to him. What are some overall themes that are rising to the surface? And that's what we started studying. If you were here last week, you noticed that the first point that we had, we began to look at, you know, God made us in his image. And what exactly does that mean? What's the significance of that? And we talked about how he's basically telling us over and over again, you're like me and bear my resemblance. If you took notes last week, you'll be reminded that some of the sub-points to this was the fact that image that we have been made in, our likeness to him, has to do with that which is spiritual. There's a spiritual part of every one of us, a spirit, if you will, that will spend an eternity somewhere. That is the part that lasts forever. And from the opening portions of the book of Genesis, and shortly after he creates us, we're made aware of that likeness, and we're made aware of the spiritual side of us and the importance of that, that part which has the ability to connect with God and hear him and speak to him. That's our spiritual side. We are spiritual beings, but we understand that that's a reflection of our Creator himself. That's part of the likeness. Our image is spiritual. Our image is mental. We talked about that. Humanity was created as a relational and a rational and willful being. In other words, human beings are and can reason and choose. Well, this is just simply a reflection of who our Creator is. So we are that way because he is that way. What's another way? We say, well, our image is not only spiritual, mental, but also moral, morality. The Bible says that we were created in righteousness and in perfect innocence. Okay, now, Adam and Eve were created that way. Okay, that was their character, and that character was a reflection of who God is. Now, they had the ability, the choice to choose sin, and unfortunately they did, and of course that's affected mankind even to the point where we are today. So we see that we were created with God's image. Part of that was morality. The fourth thing that we talked about is how our image is also social. Socially, humanity was created for fellowship. You see this in the garden. You see this as God gives Adam a wife, and so forth and so on. And yet God is a relational being. He created us because he wants fellowship and he loves fellowship and desires fellowship. You look at how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all connect three in one, and yet they are relational to each other. They work in tandem with one another, and you see that theme being used all throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New. So we see that our image, we, whether we like it or not, or acknowledge it or not, it's just the fact that we were created in the image of Almighty God. You are like me and bear my resemblance. Boy, that's an awesome, awesome thought. We talk about how this is the kind of effort God put into you and I to establish this identity in us. And we saw that God was ultimately pleased with the outcome. He said that his creation was very, very good. So we went sort of beyond that, and we started posing this question of, okay, if that is who we are and how he created us to be, how is it possible to mar that image or to somehow take away from who we are or who God wants us to be? And the answer to that question is yes. We started answering this question, and if you were here last week, again, you saw that this happens. We mar God's image when we embrace what he stands against, and this is sin. We see Adam and Eve embraced that which he stood against, and because of that, well, it marred the image. No longer was there the sweet fellowship between their spirit and his. It was thrust into a sinful curse that descended on all of us. So we see that when we embrace what he stands against, we mar that image. We also noticed that when we devalue human life, we mar that image. We talked about the significance that God places upon human life. And your existence, okay? Your body, it's important to him. And again, we looked at different stories early on where that is established. They're barely out of the garden. And what do we have? Cain and Abel. We have the first murder that takes place in the Bible. And God has a steep punishment for that. Why? Because he cares about you and I. He cares about our body. He cares about human life. There is value in that. We could talk about all the things that are wrong about our society that take away value from human life. We could talk about abortion and talk about why that's wrong. We could talk about vices that are a part of our society that people are addicted to or that harm your body or harm my body. Those things should not be a part of us because the Lord created us, and those things mar the image that he has established in us. And so we've looked at these two things, but now I want to give us the third thing. And I want you to see this, and as we study it together, I want you to see the progression here. First of all, we've talked about the spirit. Your spirit, the spiritual side of you, has value. Again, if you've accepted Jesus, you have a pathway to fellowship with God. Your sins are forgiven, and you will have that eternally going forward. What a blessing. I think most of us in this room have made that decision. Your spirit has value. The second thing that we looked at is we've taken another step away from the inside out, and we've talked about our bodies. Okay, you realize the direction we're going here. Okay, the innermost being in you and I is our spiritual side. Now we're going to our body. God says that matters. Third of all, I want to take another step in that progression, and I want us to see that, number three, your covering matters. Your covering matters. You say, Brother Scott, you're treading into controversial waters tonight. You actually going to talk about dress here tonight? You absolutely better believe we're going to talk about dress, okay? And why is that? Well, because, again, I want you to follow with me, okay? I am not emphasizing this. God is emphasizing this, okay? He says you have a spirit, it has value. He says you have a body, you are living and breathing, you should take care of the vessel that you have, and you should look to preserve it, you should take care of that because it has value. And now we're going to talk about the covering. Is the covering mentioned in the Word of God? Are there parameters at all to the covering that you and I have? Yeah, there are. And it's actually, they don't even make it out of the garden before God deals with their covering. So let me just say this tonight. My point this evening is to simply teach you what the Bible says. And I hope that is what you would always expect from your youth pastor. Okay? I realize that there are things that I say from time to time that another church down the road maybe would not stand for. Okay? I don't have to hold account of them, just me. And where the Bible speaks about something, we're going to talk about that. OK, Okay? So I don't, my desire tonight is not to make anybody feel awkward or anything other than just to tell you what the Bible says. And so on your end tonight, some of these things may be things that you already know. Some of these things may be things that you're already familiar with. But I would hope that all of us would say, okay, Brother Scott, I am willing to learn. I am willing to be at that place to see what the Bible says about my covering. Now, before we get into the passage, I want to ask you this question. Does the world, our society, does it have a standard for a covering? Well, that's kind of a tricky question, okay? Because we could probably talk about the business world and you could see some standards there as far as that goes. But if we're to just zoom out for just a second and think about what Hollywood is telling us about our covering, what apparel stores are telling us about a covering, what Netflix is telling us about a covering, I think what you will probably come to, as well as what I have come to, and say this, that there's not much of a standard there, if there is one. I want us to look at what the Bible says about a covering tonight. Notice, as we get into this, I want you to see that God emphasized a covering after the fall. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to see here a very interesting occurrence. Notice what it says. In Genesis chapter 3, let's go ahead and take a look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now what's happened here? This sin has just entered in, okay? Adam and Eve chose sin over the Lord, and these are the consequences that are unfolding. It says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. I want you to see, first of all, that God emphasized a covering after the fall. When man sinned, he lost his innocence. Guilt and shame were experienced for the first time. And with that, the need to cover up. I've often tried to understand exactly what was happening at this moment. What was it that Adam and Eve were somehow, because they had close fellowship with God, there was this type of glow about them that maybe as soon as they made that choice, all of a sudden the glow was gone and they realized that they were, in fact, as the Bible says they were. I don't know all of how it happened. The Bible doesn't give us the sense of how that takes place. But we do know that in that moment when they chose sin, they were very aware of their nakedness. So I want you to see that God now gets involved in this. And notice number one, notice the sequence here. The Bible says they clothed themselves. Well, how did they do that? Verse 7, they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. Okay? So they attempt here to cover themselves, but their covering was still lacking. And you say, how do you know that, Brother Scott? How do you know that what they did in their attempt to cover their quote-unquote nakedness, how do we know that was not significant enough and that we could all just walk around with fig leaves? How do we know that? Well, because of a couple of things. Notice number one, the word apron. The word apron here has the idea of something that was limited. Okay, this was not something that was a full covering. Number two, because of their actions. Notice verse 8. What happens here? Now, the sequence is very important because they sew fig leaves in order to cover their nakedness. Okay, there is some kind of standard here that God is talking about. And they make themselves aprons, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord. This is after that, walking in the garden of the cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And notice verse 9, and the Lord called unto them, Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Okay, and verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Do you see the sequence here? Okay, so they sow fig leaves quickly. They're like, hey, we've got a problem here. We've got to cover up. And so they do that. The Bible says they used an apron type of thing. But then it's not sufficient enough because they go and hide themselves among the trees. And what happens when God calls them? Adam says, well, I'm a little ashamed right now, Lord, because of the nakedness situation. So even though Adam attempts to make amends of this, there is an understanding that what they have made is not sufficient. And so what does God do with this exactly? Well, man tries to cover himself, but notice number two, God covers them. In verse 21, after God tells them all about the curse and all of that, he's then going to deal with the secondary issue here, which is the fact that they need to be clothed properly. Notice verse 21. It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Okay, so now God is going to cover them, and there are two things going on. Number one, okay, he makes a sacrifice here, okay, in order to cover them, okay? There's a spiritual application that first must be understood that's taking place here, okay? God is dealing with something spiritually from a spiritual standpoint. Fellowship needs to be restored, okay? That's the first application. But the second application that can be seen here is that their covering was inferior, and he gives to them what the Bible says makes a coat here. Now, the word coat, as we dig a little deeper, it has the idea of a robe or a tunic, okay? Many of us have seen maybe you have not. I grew up with flannel graph. How many of our youth workers are familiar with the flannel graph? These guys were great, okay? Moses was everybody back in those days. He was Abraham, he was Aaron, you just stuck Moses up there for all of these people. It was a visual, okay? So anyway, you just threw him up on the flannel graph board, and they were wearing robes. Okay, this is what they wore back in that day. So God says, "Look, okay, this is insufficient." Okay, for two reasons: spiritually, we need to restore fellowship, and number two, you need a proper covering. So he gives that to them. All right, and what is God doing here? He's establishing some type of baseline in regards to nakedness. And so we realize that God does care about our covering because he deals with it here with Adam and Eve. So what happens? We see that God emphasizes this. Number two, we see that God punished Ham for making light of this. Now, go with me, Genesis chapter 9. Okay, I want you to stay with me, okay? Don't turn me off tonight. Some of you say, "Oh, bro, this guy can't listen to this anymore." No. Listen to the Word of God, all right? Listen to what the Bible is telling us, what the Bible is emphasizing about your vessel and mine and our covering. We notice God's establishing a baseline understanding that we need to be covered. Number two, God punishes Ham for making light of nakedness. Genesis chapter 9, notice with me here, verse 21 and 22. Notice what it says. "And he," Noah, "drank of the wine and was drunken," and the Bible says he was uncovered within his tent. Okay, so what happens? "And Ham," this is his son, okay, the father of Canaan, "saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without." So what happens next? "And Shem and Japheth," they're appalled at what's going on. "They took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their fathers." So understand what's happening here, okay? This is the second time that uncovering or nakedness comes up in the Word of God. And it's not too far beyond the garden. What's happening? Well, Noah's drunk. Noah has uncovered himself. His son comes in and sees the uncovering. Okay, now Ham's attitude does play a role in this, but first and foremost, he sees this and he doesn't do anything about it. He goes and tells his brothers. So first of all, we understand that he makes two mistakes here. One, he looks at this situation and Ham looked at something he should not have, okay, in this situation. Leviticus 18 and verse 20, Leviticus 18 and 20. We won't go there. These are two chapters that are solely dedicated to God giving the law to Israel. And in this, you will find the repeated phrase, "Look not upon the nakedness of blank." And he goes through and gives a whole score of people in which Israel was not to look on the uncovering of other people. So understand that yes, a covering matters for guys and girls in this room. A covering matters. The Lord's establishing that. But it also matters what we see with our eyes. Ham didn't think it was important. Okay, so Ham is looking on something. He's looking on nakedness in a way, and whether he thinks it's funny or whatever, he has the wrong attitude. Okay, listen, you and I are growing up in a world that has the wrong attitude in relation to nakedness. And I'm sorry about that. There was a time in our country where there was a high standard when it came to a covering, if we could say it that way. It's not like that anymore. Do you realize that America alone is the highest proponent of pornography out of all of the countries in the world? In producing, in viewing, and that's a sad thing. Because there's a lot of people who don't think anything about it, who don't consider, well, maybe what the Lord wants. In fact, there are Christians that struggle with this, and we understand that, but you and I have to get back to the fact that, hey, God has established something not too far beyond the time that He created that has to do with the fact that I need to understand that my covering is important and that I need to be aware that it's not right for me as a man or you as a lady to look on nakedness. So obviously that rules out a lot of things, but Ham here looked at something he should not have. Number two, he made fun of it. You know, if you go read down through the following verses, you'll realize that God had severe punishment for Ham. He curses his line. And that's, again, because Ham took a light approach to something that God was saying, hey, listen, you realize you're made in my image. You realize that all three of these aspects are important to me. Your spirit's important, your body, and that which covers those things is a part of who you are. And it's a part of reflection of me. So Ham has steep consequences because of what he did and also because of the attitude that was involved. He made fun of it. Now, notice, third of all, we see God establishes a baseline. We see God punished Ham for making light of nakedness. And number three, God gave parameters for us to follow. And we're going to jump around a little bit, but I encourage you to write these things down because each one, I would say, is important. So, Brother Scott, are we all just to walk around in robes? Is that what you want me to wear to Teen Time, Brother Scott? Just say it. Say you want us to all wear robes, okay? No, that's not what we're saying, okay? Because there are more principles that the Bible gives us that help us better define our covering. And so let's continue to do that, okay? Notice number one here in the parameters that God has given us as we continue through where we're studying. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to notice that we ought to use wisdom in our covering. Notice this, okay? Now don't fall asleep. Don't check out on me. You should be asking yourself the same questions I am. God, what do you say about our covering? Use wisdom in your covering. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 26. Give me a second to turn over there. Exodus chapter 20. Notice verse 26. Notice here the Bible says, neither shalt thou go up by the steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. You know who he's talking here to? He's talking to the priests. And he's saying, listen, priests, when you make these sacrifices and you go up for on behalf of the people, and you get in a place that maybe you're elevated above others, you need to use some wisdom in regards to covering up. Okay, so a robe, he goes up. Hey, he's gonna think twice about that. And the Bible says they made linen breeches, is what they called them. But do you get the idea here? The idea is, hey, there. Listen, it's something that we need to use wisdom with. It's something that we need to be thinking about. Hey, and you notice the first mention of this is not to a woman. Okay, this is to a man. Okay, so we have to understand that when we talk about a covering, we're not just talking, ladies, I know a lot of times we emphasize different things, but he's also talking to a man here, and he's saying, hey, listen, there's a point where what you have is considered nakedness, and you need to use wisdom in making sure that you're covered. Notice not only using wisdom in our covering, but notice, second of all, use guidelines in our covering. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 42. Go there with me. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And notice what it says. Verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thigh they shall reach." Okay, so now what's God doing? He's establishing another baseline for us. Okay, he's now giving us another component whereby we can look at what God has said about our covering and we can add it together. So what does he establish here? He establishes that, hey, when it comes to a length or something that is considered a covering, it's something that covers the thigh. It's something that comes down. That's why so often we say, hey, make sure you've got a skirt or short or shorts or whatever that comes to the knee. Okay? Now, why do we sometimes say, hey, you know, be careful because when you sit down, sometimes it comes up. Okay? That's that wisdom part of it, right? That God was like, hey, use the wisdom of the, you're going to be in this situation, so make sure that it's long enough, right enough, smart enough, so that you're not going to show something that ought not to be showed. So again, we're stacking one thing upon the next, and we're asking the Lord, Lord, what do you say about a covering? What exactly, where do I draw my lines in this just crazy world that doesn't seem to have any standard whatsoever? Where do I draw those lines? And so we're doing that together, and we see that not only we use wisdom in our covering, not only we use the guidelines that God has given us in our covering. We won't turn there for sake of time, but Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 3, you have another statement here where he's talking to the children of Israel, and they're crossing a portion of water, and he uses an illustration here. He says when you uncover your naked, when you show your nakedness. But then he points back to, he says it's an uncovering of the thigh. So again, like you're not dumb, okay? You guys are smart here tonight. At what point do we call nakedness nakedness? I mean, I think I know what the world wants to say, and they want to make that about as small a covering as possible. But is that really what we're going to allow to define nakedness? And God stays away from that. And he builds a fence, a guideline for all of us. And he says, hey, this is a great place to draw that line. And some of you here tonight, maybe you've had a hard time understanding that, or you haven't understood why we've approached maybe different ones and ask you to change or do something like that. Listen, we're just trying to be consistent with what God has told us to do, and to do that the best that we know how. Okay, so I hope you'll have the right attitude in regards to that. I hope that you'll say, yeah, you know what? I'm seeing this, and I'm seeing what God's saying, and I'm willing to hear that. We see that we're to use guidelines in our covering. Number three, our covering should be appropriate. Our covering should be appropriate. Appropriate to what? Well, the situation. Genesis chapter 41, the Bible says that when Joseph came out of the prison, before he went before Potiphar, the Bible says that he changed his clothes to be in the presence of the king. So what's happening there? Well, it's the same principle that happened today at Tom Sandlin's funeral in the auditorium. I didn't walk in the auditorium and see anybody in athletic clothing. Okay, I didn't see anybody that looked like they were ready to hang a three from midcourt. Okay, I didn't see anybody that looked like they were dressed up for grog at the midwinter retreat. Okay, well, why is that? It would not have been appropriate time and place. I did see a lot of people wearing their best. In fact, I saw a ton of people, suit and tie, fellas, that's what they were wearing. There's probably 100 people there. What are they doing? They understand, and even our culture understands this, that there is certain things that are just appropriate when it comes to a covering. That's why when we talk about a lot of times, we say, hey, you know what? When we come to worship on Sunday, we should put our best foot forward. And we should say, hey, you know what? My attire is going to reflect that of the appropriateness of where I am. Lord, I'm, you know what? I'm here to worship you. I want to look my best. Okay, that was something that was found in the Word of God. Even in Genesis chapter 41, we see that at work in Joseph's life. Notice number four, not only our covering should be appropriate, number four, our clothing should be gender specific. Our clothing should be gender specific. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it talks about wearing that which pertaineth unto a man, okay, or a woman. Okay, so what is God telling us here? Okay, he's telling us in different ways, giving us bits and pieces of information that all of us put together to have an understanding of a covering that God wants us to have. And this is just the next layer. That when I present myself, that I am wearing things that would not cause people to question my gender. Okay, I'll never forget. I don't know if it was a year or two ago. Harry Styles on the front of Vogue magazine. What was he wearing? Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Some of you know. He's wearing a dress. Okay, and what is he trying to say? He's trying to say, look, you know, it doesn't matter. Okay, what does it matter what you wear? It doesn't matter what you wear. Listen, okay, listen. You know what God says? God says it matters. Okay, it matters. And listen, if he made you a boy, well, just embrace that. Well, that's part of his image to you and what he's done in your life. And I ought to embrace that. Okay, girls tonight, you ought not be at the place where you're dressing to, you know, well, I want to, you know, look more masculine in my dress. Don't go there. Okay, embrace what God has done in your life and realize that's a biblical thing. That's a biblical thing to have a covering that is gender specific. And we see that. Our clothing should be gender specific. Let's go to number five, just a couple left and then we're done tonight. And I told you it's going to be more teachy, but notice number five, our clothing should not reveal or excite wrong desires. Okay, our clothing should not reveal or excite wrong desires. You want to see something that does this? Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Okay, don't go there tonight, but Proverbs chapter 7. The Bible gives us a little clue that our covering can often reveal our intention. And what do you have there? You have a woman that the Bible says that she had about her a covering of that of a harlot. Clothing, the way she was dressed, it was easily identifiable that this was a woman who was trying to attract the wrong kind of attention. And the man that is illustrated in that passage easily picked up on what she was all about. And the Bible says that he went right to her. Listen, that is a part of, is that all of it? Okay, that's not all of it, but it is a part of it. And we just can't say, well, you know what, he's a pervert and he shouldn't be thinking that way. Okay, No. We have to go back and we have to say, okay, what does God say about this? I mean, I know what the world says, and I know what the church down the street, I know what they're saying, and I don't know why they're saying it, but we know what they say, but what does God have to say about this issue? And the Lord says that we shouldn't wear something that would excite or would encourage wrong desires in someone else, the attire of an harlot. And number six, notice our covering ought to be an indication of what is happening on the inside. I want everybody to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is where we will end tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I would love to, if you have questions, I would love to talk to you about this issue. I've done a ton of studying it recently. We weren't able to get to all of what I studied tonight, but I'd love to answer any question you have. I'm not going to be mad at anybody, okay? I'd love to, as best I can, answer some of those questions. So I'm available for that. But notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is where we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Let's back up here. Verse 17. Notice, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. There's that spirit again. Okay, there's that spirit again. Notice he keeps going. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's that body again. Both have value. Let's keep going. What does he say? Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, this is what I'm trying to get to tonight. It is unmistakable as you read through the first few books of the Bible that God is trying to establish something about who we are as human beings. And it starts with that spirit, that spiritual side of us that has the chance to speak to God and to hear his voice. And it moves from that to that which the spirit is housed in, and that is our body. Your body matters. Your life has value. And then it moves on to a place of every spirit and every body has a covering. And where is our covering at? Is it at the right place? Let me ask you, how is your attitude toward the covering? You know what you see when you get into the New Testament, and we don't have time to go there, but you know what he does? He ups the standard for dress because he starts getting into your attitude, okay? It's these guidelines, but it's also how do we approach this? Is my standard the church down the road, or is my standard the school down the street, or is it the Netflix show that I so enjoy and think about? I hope it's not. I hope we'll follow the Lord and ask him, Lord, what is your standard? And Lord, how can I reflect you more in my image the way you would have me to? Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I hope that you understand the nature by which I've said these things this evening. I understand that this can be sometimes a controversial issue. I wish that it was not. I think that part of that is the world that we're living in and the uphill climb that you guys have as teenagers. But I can tell you this, that you and I can make a decision to stand upon God's word because it's immovable and because it's right. And I wish I could say tonight that it's going to get easier for you to live for God in this day and time, but it's not. But I hope this evening that you see that every part of your life has value. Does your clothing, is that the only thing that matters? Certainly not. Is your body the only thing that matters? Obviously, no. Is your spirit most important? Well, that's the part that lives forever. Yes, 100%. But the Lord emphasizes these things and they're important to him. I hope they'll be important to us. Lord, as we open our invitation time, Father, we just ask that Lord, you would speak to us, and that, Lord, we would see the value in these three things that we've traced both last week and tonight. Lord, we'd set ourselves aside and be willing to do what you would have us to. In your name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the altar's open as it always is. Nobody's looking around. If God spoke into your heart about anything, you want to come to the altar and pray about it, you're more than welcome to do that. Nobody's thinking about you. Everybody's thinking about themselves, or at least they should be. Let's take a little time and talk to the Lord. What's your attitude towards that which is uncovered? You find yourself easily sitting in front of TV shows and movies where God's standard of nakedness is being violated. I'll tell you, that seeps into your heart. You can't watch that stuff and be close to the Lord. You'll never do it. Make the decision tonight to see our covering as God sees it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for what you've done in our hearts this evening, and I pray, God, that we would not be people, Lord, who in any way, shape, or form diminish your image, and Lord, that we would glorify you in our spirit and in our body, remembering that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, speak to us, continue to speak to us as we go our separate ways. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.